Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, here we go. Friday edition, Super Talk Eagle Hour. Glad you're with us. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bank Course Studio. Dima, Kelly, and Bob, glad to be a part of your afternoon. Opening segment of the show sponsored as it is every day by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Proud to say they rejoined us in 2025, and we love having them on board. Great place to take your family for dinner or cater your next special event, Dickey's Barbecue here in Hattiesburg. Full show for you today. Patrick McGee, sports editor of the Times-Picayune, joining us later in the show. Jason Baker does the play-by-play for Lady Eagle basketball. And our first guest joining us momentarily does the play-by-play for Old Dominion men's basketball, Ted Alexander. He's no stranger to the Eagle Hour. But before we get to Ted, want to again, thank our great sponsors and remind you about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast that you can hear every day on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can tell Alexa to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Men's basketball loses again last night, 83-72 to James Madison. They're on the road for a contest tomorrow against Old Dominion. Ted Alexander does the play-by-play for the Monarchs. He's been on the show many times. We always welcome him back. And, well, first of all, Happy New Year to you, my friend.
Thank you, gentlemen. Great to be back and ready for 2025 and the fortunes it may bring.
There, well, there you go. All right, so the two teams collide tomorrow afternoon. ODU, you just got through telling us, 5-9 on the season, 1-1 in the league. I think the Golden Eagles fell to 6-8 last night, if I'm not mistaken. Also, 1-1 on the league. What should we expect from the Monarchs tomorrow?
We have absolutely no idea. How about that? You know, the thing is, you got a bunch of new guys, as a lot of teams do, and you're trying to figure it out. You're trying to get your rotations going. You got a couple of nicks and bruises here and there, and you're having a consistency issue. You know, the Monarchs will play really well and look really, really good for a while, as they did last night against the team picked to win the league, Arkansas State. But then they'll go into a bit of a doldrum. We call it the Bermuda Triangle. And suddenly a 34-34 tie with 15 and a half, 16 minutes to go turns into a 78-59 Red Wolf win because of a couple of mishandled balls, a couple of badly timed shots, some bad defense for pockets of time. And so it's a lack of consistency that the Monarchs have had this year. And when they play well, they can play with anybody. But when they don't, they can't.
Ted, it's just when you look across the league, and we've talked about this on this show, it's kind of surprising how just bad the league is this year in basketball. You normally have three or four teams that are, you know, they're not like Duke or anything like that, but they're competitive, and even when they get in the tournament, they're able to compete with some of the higher blue blood basketball teams. But I mean, there's nobody in the league this year outside of maybe, like you said, Arkansas State, that has really even shown any of that life that we're used to seeing from this league.
Well, there are probably, you know, 50 reasons for that, but my instant theory is the fact that at the mid-major level, it's like you go into a convenience store and just rip everything off the shelves, and that's what's happening to these rosters. And when you can grab that bag of Doritos and keep it on your own shelf, that's the exception rather than the rule. And so these teams have been gutted, and so it's harder to get it together at this time of year. And also, you've got the mentality here in 2025 that we're only playing for one bid anyway. So, you know, if, as long as you show up in Pensacola with your act together, you've got a shot.
Yeah, and we've talked about that as well, Ted. If I'm reading your feedback properly, this is going to be more the norm from year to year, of really not being able to develop any consistency because you don't even know who your players are going to be going into the season.
I think that's the way it's going to be. And what you can do is find yourself some high school recruits and get them to buy in early before the checks start rolling their way too heavily, and try and get them to enjoy your culture and your place and your university and those types of things, and hope the poachers wait a year or two before they come in and poach.
Well, our Eagles were in Harrisonburg last night. By the way, they send their love to you over at James Madison, to you Old Dominion.
Thank you so much for that.
Yeah, and you know, it was sarcasm, 100%. Sarcasm. But when the Monarchs are playing well, what do they do especially well, and what's been their poorest aspect to their games?
When they're playing well, they are being physical defensively. They're crashing both glasses. They lead the Sun Belt in offensive rebounding, so they're putting back the misses. And they're hitting some shots. I mean, last night against the Red Wolves, the Monarchs were 4-for-24 from three and shot 26% for the game. You can't beat anybody doing that, much less a good team like the Red Wolves. And so when they're playing well, they're hitting their shots, they're moving without the basketball, they're playing team offense and team defense. When they're playing poorly, they're standing around not playing any defense, letting guys get all the way to the hole, reacting late to them, fouling them for end-one opportunities, and they're throwing up brick after brick at the other end.
That sounds familiar.
What do you think about the inability to win on the road, Ted, in this league? I mean, I know it's hard in any league, and I know Arkansas State went to Old Dominion last night and won, but, I mean, outside of a few scenarios, you're not seeing a lot of road teams win either.
Well, it's with teams that are still trying to figure it out, you add an extra degree of difficulty when you're away from home. You don't have your fans there, and you don't have the usual routine there. And sometimes when you're playing in front of your home folks, if you get off to a bad start, they can provide you with something that'll help you dig yourself, pull yourself up by the bootstraps and get going. On the road, oftentimes you just say, maybe not today. It's not our night.
Any way you can get Jason Henderson to play basketball?
Well, we first have to get him to play football.
Yeah, that's right.
And we certainly hope he's going to be back after the horrible knee injury. But, you know, he's one of the guys that's hanging around. And you know, moving forward in this new college athletics we look at, sometimes maybe the injury bug might be the best thing that happens to people in terms of keeping them on your roster, where the big boys might not want to take a chance on a guy like Jason Henderson. And I don't know. I for all I know, he's coming back. But he might be less desirable to the poachers than before the injury. So that might keep him on your squad. What these student-athletes have to realize, while the checks might not be nearly as big, and I'll grant you that, they have just as good a shot as getting to the show at our schools as with the Power Fours.
No,
people in the professional leagues know where to find the talent and can find the talent no matter where it is.
Ted, I can hear it in your voice. You're a longtime sports guy. You, I gather, feel the same way that I know that Kelly and I feel about all this. But when is somebody going to step in and stop this madness?
I think when the dollars hit their peak and maybe come back off the television contracts or those types of things, I think when we realize that you're pricing many institutions out of the competition. My prediction is down the road we're going to get back to 1A and 1AA again.
Mm-hmm. Kelly makes a point.
And it'll be interesting. And it'll be interesting to see if there's some type of opportunity for the student athletes to jump from AA to single A, you know, year after year. I think one of the things that bothers me long before the dollars became so prominent is the ability to just bail after a half an hour at a school without any repercussions. And you aren't teaching anybody anything about stick-to-itiveness or grinding or getting up off the deck. What you're teaching them is, if you don't think the grass is green enough at any point, you should bail and go somewhere else.
Well,
and
I think that's
a dangerous thing to teach our youth.
I think you could simply stop that largely by implementing the old rule. Yeah, you can transfer, but you're going to sit out a year. I think that would. Hey, last question. Kelly believes this will change when the big schools start suffering. And I don't know. Tell me real quickly. Are we beginning to see a little bit of that? Because I got to tell you, as a guy that has watched for the last 3 or 4 years, Georgia bully everybody around the football field, it was delightful to watch them get bullied yesterday afternoon by Notre Dame. So are we beginning to see some of the quote-unquote blue bloods come down to earth a little bit because of all this craziness?
Certainly hope so, but I don't think so. I think the dollars is the checkbooks are still flying around, and you can spend your $20 million on your roster, and you'll get hollered at if you don't win it all, but you'll get another $20 million the next year from those boosters and those supporters that want so badly to be able to say, I'm number one.
Hmm. Those are people that I think need to get a life, but that's just my opinion. Hey, Ted, we appreciate you very much, man. We always enjoy your insight, and look forward to having you back on the show in the near future.
Thanks, guys. Happy New Year.
All right, Ted Alexander, everybody, play-by-play voice of Old Dominion. Now, am I the only one that enjoyed watching Georgia get bullied yesterday?
No, and the fact that Alabama didn't even get in the playoff, which surprised me to begin with.
Yeah.
And then the way that the SEC teams have been pretty much getting beat up in some of these bowl games. Now, Ole Miss looked good last night, and good for them.
They were playing a team with a third-string quarterback.
Well, it's true. It's true.
It's true. I mean, it's just true.
And men's basketball, we'll get to it at News and Notes, but Neftali Alvarez was not in the lineup last night. We'll tell you why. We've got the reason.
I'd like to hear the answer to that question. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better, faster.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, I want to thank Ted Alexander for his input. Old Dominion University, that's where the men will play tomorrow. The women going to be playing James Madison tomorrow here. I get them mixed up. It's so weird how they do it. We're going to be talking to Jason Baker about that in just a moment. Campus Bookmart sponsors this segment of our program. Great place to buy all your Southern Miss apparel. I know a lot of you did during the holiday season. Well, they're open now. And we're glad to have them back on board this year. Campus Bookmart and campusbookmart.net. Also happy to have Mobay Beignet Company back as the official dessert headquarters of the Eagle Hour. Very dear to our heart. 2902 Hardy Street, Hattiesburg. Check out their Facebook page, Mobay Beignet Company. Jason Baker does the play-by-play for Lady Eagle basketball. He was on the call last night. Ladies dropped a 65-47 decision to Old Dominion here in Hattiesburg. And play James Madison tomorrow afternoon. Jason, welcome back to the show. Happy New Year. And before we get to basketball, what updates can you give our listeners about the health and, the current situation with head coach Joylee McNellis?
Yeah, so she's been in the hospital for quite some time. I'm not exactly sure the total number of days, Bob. It's been extensive, a couple weeks, I would suggest. And she was able to go home yesterday. She was actually inside Reed Green last night for the ball game, stayed up top with her family. But as you guys know her as well as anyone, she's tough as nails, hell, whatever you want to put it. I mean, she is just a brutally tough individual and wants to be with her team in the fashion that she could be. And so that form was just taking in the game last night from from high above inside Reed Green Coliseum. But she's home getting underneath care, and that's pretty much the extent of that. Her team went and saw her the day after Christmas, prior to us leaving to go to Georgia State. They wanted to go visit their coach and were able to do so in the hospital. They went as a complete unit, as a team, to Forest General. But that's the update I've got. So there's been some progress, which is a good thing. She was battling a case of pneumonia there for quite a bit of time. And I think that, as you well know, with a lung cancer patient, that can be quite difficult and scary. And so I understand they're trying to get that cleared up for her right now.
All right, Jason, let's get to basketball. And our best wishes, obviously, and our prayers are with Coach McNellis. Here's a casual fan's observation. You don't have Dom Davis anymore. And so the opposition just collapses on your center, who ends up getting in a lot of foul trouble, seems to have difficulty staying on the floor throughout the game. And when Malia Grayson comes off the floor, it's just not a basketball team that seems to have much to go to in the middle, Jason. How far off base am I?
No, not far at all, Bob. Really accurate, and you're right. The outside scoring was going to be the indicator of how Malia Grayson's season would go. And I know that's kind of, anecdotal, if you will, but it's the truth that she needs, perimeter scoring, wing scoring specifically, if you ask me, my opinion. She needs it from the wings, because that's a lot of the times where we enter the basketball from to Malia. So I think she needs that presence out there to draw those defenders out to those guards. And last night was a night where, frankly, Old Dominion trusted their post enough to play one-on-one with Malia. And essentially what they were able to do was harass us coming off screens on the wings and no entry feed to Malia. And then, therefore, when it did come to Malia, at that point they were able to collapse on her and get her in the early foul trouble. And, yeah, it was just a recipe for disaster last night, which is why you saw when Trinity Rowe hit five threes in the Georgia State opener, it led to a lot better offensive game from the Lady Eagles standpoint and much better flow. And look, Grayson's no secret. I mean, I think she's arguably, if not the best post player in our league, she's the second best behind Ksenia Kozlova for JMU. And so to me, teams are very much aware that our offense is going to flow through Grayson, and the rest of it is up to some unproven people within that Lady Eagle roster that have got to make shots on the outside. And so, to me, that's how this team's going to go. And matter of fact, it's not traditionally how Joylee McNellis teams would be, which is kind of live by the three, die by the three. But I don't mean that in volume sense. I just mean that in they need to make those shots to allow Grayson some space.
Jason, I'll tell you, listening to several Lady Eagle fans who've been to games, and I'm kind of in this boat, that I'm kind of, I'll tell you, a player, speaking of the roster, that's growing on me a little bit is Nyla Jean. I love that. She ought to be a country western singer with a name like that. But not many of us know a lot about Nyla Jean. Tell us about her.
Well, the reason why is the player that Bob mentioned before, which was Dom Davis. She sat behind Dom, transferred here from Georgia State. She's high school teammates with Morgan Sieper, who's on our roster, which played a big factor into why Nyla became a Lady Eagle. I thought Nyla was as good of a backup guard as there was in the Sun Belt Conference a year ago. Dom did a great job of always staying outside of foul trouble. And so Nyla really didn't get probably the normal minutes that a backup guard would even get, even with a team that has a player such as Dom Davis. And so when you have a player like that, you kind of at times want her to be able to get into foul trouble to allow, well, you don't want them, but you know what I mean. Essentially, the situation allows you to get Nyla in and onto the floor. And so at that point, she just couldn't because of Dom. And now she's getting her opportunity and she's making the most of it. And frankly, look, I mean, it was beautiful last weekend to watch her go back to the school she transferred from and perform at the level that she has. And she's an awesome kid and just a heck of a player, knows our league. She literally pushed us to the third round of the WNIT, in just starter minutes last year when really no one knew who she was.
Hmm.
And when you talk about this team going forward, it's tough enough to win games in this league, but then when you're dealing with the emotional stuff off the court, this has got to be about as tough a season, and there's still a lot more to go, but it's about as tough a season as I can remember any Southern Miss team going through.
Yeah, Kelly, and I wish I had better news because it probably got tougher last night. My understanding as I left Reed Green Coliseum last night was Bree Sutton's going to be lost for quite a bit of time, which is our starting point guard, as you guys know. And I'm not sure of her update. The ladies are actually practicing at this moment. I'll get an update post-practice on what Bree's status is going to be for tomorrow and going forward. But it didn't sound good, frankly, as I left Reed Green last night. And, yes, I think the situation with Coach is just that. It's heavy. You know, it's these basketball players love their coach. And they had a great talking to. Boy, our associate head coach, Brooks Donald Williams, has done a phenomenal job of communicating to this team and allowing open conversations to have. And just before we took off to Atlanta, they talked about, look, you know, you can play for Coach, but you don't have to carry that burden of what Coach is going through. But these are players, man. They, you know, they have these conversations and build relationships with these coaches, and they're tied to them, and they want to do that. And so it's a heavy situation. It's a tough season right now. It's a roster that's been depleted. Our best returning guard is not with us at the moment, and Ja'Coria Bracey still on the roster, but not with us. That's tough. You know,
well, you're just a barrel of laughs, Jason.
Yeah, boy, aren't I?
Happy New Year, Jason.
Right. Yeah.
But you know what, Kelly? I mean, look, this team's 5-8 and has found a way to beat. I thought Georgia State was improved, found a way to beat them and went on the road. Old Dominion's going to be a top three team in this league. So last night wasn't a shocker, in
right.
my opinion.
Right. I was going to say, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how did you like the play?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly right, yeah.
No, Jason, here's the big question. We've been trying to determine this. Next year when the football team takes the field, will they be known as the Southern Miss Thundering Herd or the Marshall Golden Eagles? We can't really figure out which of the two.
What about the Thundering Eagles? Well,
the Thundering Eagles,
guys,
maybe.
I'll tell you this. As you well know, with these ESPN Plus broadcasts, you get access to these opponents that come into Hattiesburg. And Charles Huff was my first opportunity to engage with him on the Thursday before Marshall played us. That weekend, and look, man, I was blown away. I had not ever crossed paths with Charles Huff or ever had a conversation, and I really was. I was completely blown away. Now, I will tell you, I had no idea the sequence of events that were fixing to take place over the next month, but literally I felt like it was a guy in tune with where college football is headed and how it's headed and how to win, and I mean, I think he's got the blueprint to do it, and frankly, he just got done doing it in our league. And so, guys, I'm as excited for our opportunity with our football program right now as anyone. He was as engaging, as direct, as blunt, and I think what he gave me, kind of a reveal of the curtain into his program, is he wins through discipline, he wins through, you know, toughness, and I just think – Jeremy McClain, Sean Jones, and those that were a part of that search just hit an absolute home run. And, you know, I understand the circumstances that probably allowed us to get Charles Huff into our conversation. And, frankly, I'm glad we ran with it because I think we have absolutely hit a grand slam home run. And, yeah, it was really cool to see that kind of all unfolding, I guess about a month ago.
Well, you weren't the only one blown away. Our whole team was blown away by Marshall.
Literally, yeah.
Hey, Jason, we appreciate your time, man. Happy New Year to you. We'll get you back on real soon.
Absolutely. Same to you guys. See y'all at the Pete in about a month, fellas.
There we go. That's exactly right. Jason Baker, everybody. I put a smile on my face. I appreciate Jason bringing
one more piece of construction paper off of Bob Getty's baseball paper chain.
The countdown is underway, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, Patrick McGee catches us up. This will be the last week of the Saints, right? Last week they play?
Yeah.
For the time being?
About 6 weeks ago was kind of the last week.
We could have another great football season. We'll talk about the New Orleans Saints.
Oh, boy.
Oh. Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
It's possible.
Be careful about asking Kelly Sander questions right before you go on break. I apologize for even bringing
you're
that
okay,
up.
You're okay,
Dima? Poor Dima. Patrick McGee joins us in this segment. Thank God we've got something to bail us out here. Sponsored by, I've lost my complete train of thought.
How about 4th Street Bar and Grill?
There we go. 4th Street Bar and Grill, where you can get a good meal today. It'll be a great place to go hang out.
It could happen.
Patrick McGee is the sports editor of the Times-Picayune. You didn't hear all of that off air, did you, Patrick?
No, actually I didn't. So
well, thank God. That means nobody could have heard it accidentally. Patrick McGee joins us. And, Patrick, on a serious note, I know it's you had a big – massive game there last night. I do want to talk to you about that for a moment, but I know it's been kind of hard to focus on the Sugar Bowl, hard to focus on the Saints, hard to focus on anything with the senseless, terrible tragedy that occurred in New Orleans this week.
Yeah, no, it was, I went to bed pretty early New Year's Eve, right after midnight. I was just exhausted and just crashed and got a phone call by 8:30 in the morning, about 5 hours after it had happened. It was just to get woken up with that news was really, just kind of hard to even, in this business, you kind of get numb to certain things, but obviously that you're just kind of, when it hits this close to home, it really does kind of, it is disturbing, and it's something that this community is going to be dealing with for a long time. As a newspaper, we're going to be dealing with it for a long time, And so the community really took a hit, and New Orleans has been through tough times, tough things, tough tragedies. But this one's just hard to digest, just the right. senselessness of it. So we're all in New Orleans. We're all just still kind of trying to understand it, but there really is no understanding it because it just makes no sense.
So many of us have been in that very area so many times, and it's just always a place that reflects fun and having a good time and being relaxed. And all those young people, which primarily were the victims, unfortunately, that's what they were doing when this monster came down through there in that truck. And I don't know, Patrick, I don't think you can make sense of things like that. And I learned many years ago, a long time ago, but Kelly can say the same thing. I saw a few things in the news business that were really, really hard to get out of your head.
What's especially difficult for New Orleans is that city is going to have that label on it now when nobody in that city had anything to do with what happened.
No, right.
These are people from a person from outside anywhere near New Orleans.
Right. New Orleans is full of wonderful people that enjoy food and camaraderie and having a good time, and nobody has any place in their hearts for this kind of evilness. So, anyway, Patrick, our condolences to you and everybody down there, and certainly people in Mississippi are thinking hard about their neighbors and friends in Louisiana. Yesterday there was a football game, and Notre Dame, I caught the last half of that game, Patrick, and I told these guys up here, I'm not going to lie, man, it was delightful to see the big Georgia bully get bullied for a change, and boy, did Notre Dame do that. Are we seeing a change at the upper blue blood level, the three or four programs that have been so dominant in recent years because of all the insanity and changes in college football, or is this just a blimp on the radar?
No, I think we'll see. I mean, Indiana is really not that far from being in this position themselves, so that kind of tells you a lot. It's things have changed. If you're a program that really recruits well in the portal over the course of a year or two, you can dramatically change your program, as Southern Miss is hoping to do. Things have changed. Notre Dame probably has a good mix of portal and guys that have stuck it out, and that's probably what it's going to take to be able to win at this level. And I think really just the game itself, Notre Dame really well-coached team. They noticed the weaknesses that Georgia had on the offensive line and some other areas, and they took advantage of it. It was just a really perfectly executed game plan for Notre Dame. They went out there and got it done and beat a talented Georgia team, but it was a down year, I think, in general for the SEC. Texas is a talented team. They're still playing. Ohio State's super hot right now. Notre Dame looks really good. Penn State looks good. So I think there's a good chance we'll have a national champion from the northern half again this year.
Interesting. Well, I know Dima likes that. He's he's a misplaced Ohio State fan. Of course, his favorite team is Michigan, but other than that would be and he was just grateful that Michigan's not in the playoffs, Patrick. I'm sure you can understand that.
Yes, I know how that rivalry goes.
I saw a tweet in the Rose Bowl when the Rose Bowl was going on that there was somebody who tweeted out it said something along the lines of Oregon at halftime is going to be changing their uniforms into Michigan's uniforms to try to slow down Ohio State.
So, Patrick, let's switch gears. That was an exciting game yesterday and good for Notre Dame. I think this would be healthy to see some different schools play for the national championship game. The New Orleans Saints are going to finish up their season, and it's been a rough one, Patrick. What's the immediate future for the franchise?
Well, I mean, immediate, they just got to get a football coach. And it's pretty obvious they're going to have to look outside. Darren Rizzi, you know, I think has done a pretty good job, all things considered, as interim coach. But, you know, they've got really got to change things dramatically. But there's a big question mark. Mickey Loomis has been GM for a long time now. Does he move on? Is he going to be the guy making decisions? I'm assuming he'll be the man making those decisions because no changes have been made. You would think if they were going to make that call, they would have already made it. And I think a lot of people expect him to hire somebody he's somewhat familiar with, and because that's kind of been his trend throughout his career, even with the Dennis Allen hiring and all that. So I got to think Aaron Glenn, the Lions defensive coordinator, has a good shot at the job being a former Saints assistant. But you know, we'll see. The sense I get in the New Orleans community is they don't have a lot of confidence that the Saints are going to do the right thing here. The franchise needs a really serious overhaul from top to bottom, and you're just going to get rid of your head coach and hope things kind of work out from there. But this, you know, they have brought in more draft picks to make the roster younger, but it goes beyond that. You know, there really, I think, has to be changes made from top to bottom.
How did it get so far, Patrick? I mean, I don't even think the Saints have made the playoffs since Breeze left, right, if I'm thinking
right.
in my head.
Yeah.
So how did it get so far from – and I'm not saying, you know, the New Orleans Saints of 18 was probably the best team since the Super Bowl team, obviously. But, I mean, it's not like they were dominating in 19 and 20. But, I mean, 21, 22, 23, 24, I mean, they're just not good. I understand Drew Breeze is Drew Breeze, but you'd think that there would be some kind of – way they could at least compete with. I mean, it's just shocking how far of a tumble it was.
Yeah, well, I mean, you go back to 2017 when they really had an incredible draft, and I think they've had some misses in the draft ever since then, and they've just gotten old
right.
at really important positions. So I think it's a mix of the draft. They keep wasting picks on fourth and fifth round quarterbacks. Who are just not going to be the answer. And those picks count, you know?
Right.
And they just burned them. And overall, you know, on defense, they're old. I'm not saying those guys on the field aren't talented, but they are not in their prime. They just don't have enough guys out there on the field who are at their prime playing at their highest level, and there's just not nearly enough depth across the board.
Patrick, the Saints are not the only franchise in New Orleans really struggling. If we can switch gears and talk
Pelicans.
A little bit about the NBA, the Pelicans are horrible. 5 wins, 29 losses. So that's a franchise,
right.
too, that has lost its way.
Yeah, and a lot of that is chalked up to injuries. I mean, they had so many injuries for the first two, three months of the season. And, you know, they've gotten somewhat healthier, but it just feels like that bad momentum just keeps... The only game I've been at this season was back on December 5th, and that's the last game they won. So this team has really been banged up. Zion hasn't been on the court, but they should be much more competitive at this point in the season. They're just not, and you know you're still missing Ingram out there. Zion's not out there, but this for whatever reason it just feels like there's going to be significant changes made at some point, whether it's in season or after season. You would think the head coach is probably going to move on after this year. I don't think he's done a bad job in New Orleans. He's been more the victim of bad luck than anything. But, you know, they haven't kept their guys on the court, and they just haven't been able to get over the hump. They play a lot of competitive games here recently, but they're not closing it out at all. And this season is just a complete loss.
There can only go up because they host the 6-25 Washington Wizards tonight. So 5-win New Orleans versus 6-win Washington tonight.
Well, that'll be a tough ticket to get a hold of.
I'd like to see the line on that one.
Yeah. -7 for the Pelicans.
Maybe they get a shot. They're putting it players out there that should be able to compete and win an NBA. Not every night, but they're just not doing it. You know, so I think there's a lot of pressure on Willie Green at this point, just because the results are not showing up on the court. There's one night here recently where his guys basically weren't competitive at all. And that's a bad sign whenever your head coach is out there saying that after a game.
Is it badly affecting attendance?
Yeah, attendance has gradually declined. I mean, anytime you're that bad, you're still having a devoted group and some basketball fans showing up at games. But yeah, attendance is dipped.
Did you go to any football games here this year, Kelly? Attendance and winning and losing is directly related.
Well, I mean, in the National Hockey League, you can have no-win team, but all the corporations buy up all the tickets. So, I mean, it's sold out anyway.
Do you have any idea how we got the hockey from there?
It's a professional sport.
I'm still thinking about what he said before he came on air.
Hey, Patrick, Happy New Year to you, and happy birthday, Professor. We want to be the first to say happy birthday to you.
All right, thanks, guys. Y'all have a good one.
All right, talk to Patrick again next week. Patrick McGee, sports editor of the Times-Picayune.
46 years old.
He's only 20 years younger than Kelly.
Correct. Well, no, a little more than that.
30.
And Patrick didn't dump us when he became big time.
No. Maybe Blue's going to take him out.
First time ever that's happened to us. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans. TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, everybody. DBAT sponsors this segment of the show. We're glad to have them back on for a new year. They're on Hardy Street. Great place for baseball and softball training, which is just right around the corner. So now would be the time, I think, to reach out. Kelly, if you've got a baseball or softball player in your family, now's the time to start getting in those cages.
Look, registrations for youth softball and baseball are already online, and they'll start having tryouts first week of February. It's here.
As we enter the new year, clearly DEMA's new favorite is Into Bay Spring Water. That's because it's Mississippi owned and operated. DEMA, do you happen to know where it comes from?
Stone County.
That's it, DEMA. And it's premium water with unmatched purity. Nothing stripped and what?
Nothing added.
Nothing added. It's freshness you can taste and what you can feel?
Hydration.
Their ding, bottles, ding, 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 their ding, bottles ding. Won't collapse, but what
my
will?
Thirst will.
Boy, look at this guy, would you? And DEMA, where would it be available?
Quarter Market and certain Walmarts.
I don't guess I need to say anything else. Do
I am cheating because I'm looking at the sheet right here.
Okay. Right. I was pretty impressed there for a minute. All right, DEMA.
Well, when you said it wouldn't collapse, I'm going, a Southern Miss lead? That's
No. We're talking about reality. DEMA, let's hear news and notes.
All right, news and notes. We've already mentioned how both Southern Miss basketball teams dropped their games last night, so we're not going to rehash all that. But we are going to talk about the future Sun Belt schedules. Tomorrow for men's basketball, Southern Miss on the road at Old Dominion with a 3 p.m. tip-off time. Around the league, you got Texas State on the road at App State, ULM on the road at Coastal Carolina, South Alabama on the road at Georgia Southern, Arkansas State top in the conference on the road at JMU, Troy on the road at Marshall, and Louisiana on the road at Georgia State. Something about Louisiana, 4-10 overall, but 2-0 in conference play. So maybe they're turning it around a little bit.
Since they made their coaching change. And, right. And as far as the Eagles go tomorrow, as we mentioned a little bit earlier in the program, Neftali Alvarez was out of the lineup last night. He did suffer a pulled hamstring prior to the game. They are hoping that he is going to be able to go tomorrow. No commitment yet. Obviously, it'll be a game-time decision, as they say, as to whether Nefta goes tomorrow.
On the women's side, Southern Miss women's basketball back in action at home tomorrow afternoon. They will tip off against App State at Reed Green Coliseum at 2 p.m. Around the league, Georgia State on the road at Louisiana, Georgia Southern on the road at Arkansas State, and ODU on the road at ULM. So that's your women's schedule, as things are still early in conference. But, you know, here in the next few weeks, we'll start to see shaping out about seeding potentials and about, what is it, Kelly, in 8 months when the basketball season's finally over?
Yes.
But, yeah, so we'll see some seeding opportunities before the teams get on down to Pensacola for the tournament.
And you'll probably have a real job by then. Yeah, 8 months down the road. Hey, and there's news about former head coach Will Hall.
Yes, Will Hall. How about that? That news broke last night, and I don't know about y'all, but I was kind of surprised that this happened so quickly. Will Hall was hired at Tulane as the coaching staff and pass game coordinator for the Green Wave. So, you know, I guess it's good for him. I think it's good for him to get back in coaching and not have the pressure of being a head coach.
And you develop working relationships. You know, we always hear for 4 years, and he was always so gracious to come on the show. And after all that went down, like it did, you know, I just called him to try to be supportive, you know. And he said, look, Will and Rebecca Hall, he always spoke in the third person. Do you guys notice that? Will and Rebecca Hall are going to be fine. And he said, Kelly, I'm going to be coaching somewhere next year. He said, I'm telling
you. Good for him. I'm glad
yeah,
he is.
I'm going to be coaching somewhere.
I'm sure he'll work his tail off like he did here. And there's one thing about Will Hall. The end result here was not the result of a lack of work.
Absolutely not.
He worked hard at it.
And as Brandon Lacy, one of you know the former defensive line coach, said last week, he said, look, although the wins obviously didn't happen, he said there were a lot of good things behind the scenes that Will Hall did as far as character development, teaching men how to be young men, how to be responsible
and
men.
And the baptisms on the team as well. He specified that too. And something about, you know, it was harder for Will Hall than it was for the fans of the results of the last 4 years.
I don't think there's any question about that.
No. It was harder on him than it was on the fans who were calling for his job every time it'd be halftime in a game.
And we were talking with Dave Riegert, you know, the voice of James Madison. You know, he was looking forward to seeing Denaje Harris play in that game last night, and Denaje was sick.
Yeah.
You know, so he didn't get to play hardly at all, and certainly didn't perform up to his expectations, you know, when you're sick. But Curbelo, back in the lineup, you know, had, I mean, numbers-wise, had a great game. I mean, a season-high 24 points. And really, when you look at the way that the Eagles performed overall, they shot 92% from the free throw line, which that has been, you know, problematic. They only had 10 turnovers last night, and Curbelo had his sixth double-double of his, you know, his career.
Meanwhile, they lost.
Yeah, and that's my point. When you're playing that well, you would think that would translate into a win.
It's message, just hard to win on the road in this league, though.
And a message to Mr. Curbelo. When there's timeout on the floor and the opposing coach is talking to his team, he really doesn't want to have a conversation with you. He wants to talk to his players. Just throw that out there just in case he might want to pick up on that tip.
Man, you have to wonder, though, if the Eagles could just sneak one away on the road somewhere, what it would mean, you know, to their confidence. And something that scares me a little bit, we've talked about how Arkansas State has been playing really well. South Al now has kicked it into gear right in time for the season.
We own them.
Excuse me? And we're talking men's basketball, Bob, not women's. Women's, we do own them.
All right, that wraps up the week. I want you to get some rest this weekend, son. Okay. You try to rest up. Get yourself back to normal. Get back in here and go to work Monday. We're going to be looking for you a full-time job.
You don't want to be the father of nuplets.
Yeah, there he is. Boy, oh boy.
No, we don't. Whatever that means. Oh, me. It's really good to be back with you, Kelly. We'll be back Monday at 1 o'clock. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.